Okay. Okay, good afternoon. The October 13th, 2022 public meeting of the California Air Resources Board will come to order. Board Clerk, will you please call the roll?
Yes, Dr. Balmes.
Here.
Mr. De La Torre.
Here.
Mr. Eisenhut.
Here.
Senator Flores.
Flores here.
Assemblymember Garcia. Ms. Hurt.
Present.
Mr. Kakov. Mr. Kakov? Thank you. Senator Leyva? Dr. Pacheco Warner?
Here.
Mrs. Riordan?
Here.
Supervisor Serna?
Here.
Professor Sperling? Ms. Tagborian?
Here.
Supervisor Vargas?
Vargas here.
Vice Chair Berg? Chair Randolph?
Here.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. I will begin with a few housekeeping items. We are conducting today's meeting in person with remote participation options available by phone and in Zoom. Anyone who wishes to testify on a board item in person should fill out a request to speak card available in the foyer and turn it into a designated board assistant prior to the commencement of the item. If you are participating remotely, you will raise your hand in Zoom or dial *9 if calling in by phone. The clerk will provide further details regarding how public participation will work in just a moment. For safety reasons, please note the emergency exit to the rear of the room through the lobby. In the event of a fire alarm, we are required to evacuate this room immediately and go down the stairs to the left of the elevator and out of the building. When the all clear signal is given, we will return to the hearing room and resume the hearing. A closed captioning feature is available for those of you joining us in the Zoom environment. In order to turn on subtitles, please look for a button labeled CC at the bottom of the Zoom window, as shown in the example on the screen now. I would like to take this opportunity to remind everyone to speak clearly and from a quiet location, whether you are joining us in Zoom or calling in by phone. Interpretation services will be provided today in Spanish. If you are joining us using Zoom, there is a button labeled Interpretation on the Zoom screen. Click on that interpretation button and select Spanish to hear the meeting in Spanish. If you are joining us here in person and would like to listen to the meeting in Spanish, please notify a board assistant and they will provide you with further instructions. I want to remind all of our speakers to speak slowly and pause intermittently to allow the interpreters the opportunity to accurately interpret your comments.
Los servicios de interpretación serán proveídos hoy día en español. Si usted se está reuniendo con nosotros en Zoom, hay un botón etiquetado Interpretation en la pantalla Zoom. Oprima ese botón Interpretation y seleccione el español para oír esta reunión en español. Si usted se está reuniendo con nosotros en persona y quisiera poder escuchar esta reunión en español, por favor notifique al asistente, le proveerán a usted más instrucciones. Quiero recordarles a todos los oradores que por favor hablen de manera lenta y tomen pausas de manera intermitente para permitirle a los intérpretes la oportunidad de poder interpretar sus comentarios con mayor precisión.
Thank you. I will now ask the board clerk to provide more details on today's procedures.
Thank you, Chair Randolph. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Lindsay Garcia, and I'm one of the board clerks here at CARB. I will be providing additional information on how public participation will be organized for today's meeting. We will first be calling on any in-person commenters who have turned in a request to speak card, and then I will be calling on commenters who are joining us remotely. If you are joining us remotely and wish to make a verbal comment on today's board item or during the open comment period at the end of today's meeting, you will need to be using Zoom webinar or calling in by telephone. If you are currently watching the webcast on CalSpan, but you wish to comment remotely, please register for the Zoom webinar or call in. Information for both can be found on the public agenda for today's meeting. To make a verbal comment, we will be using the raise hand feature in Zoom. If you wish to speak on a board item, please virtually raise your hand as soon as the item has begun to let us know you wish to speak. To do this, if you are using a computer or tablet, there is a raise hand button. If you are calling in on the telephone, dial *9 to raise your hand. Even if you previously indicated which item you wish to speak on when you registered, you must raise your hand at the beginning of the item so that you can be added to the queue. If you will be giving your verbal comment in Spanish and require an interpreter's assistance, please indicate so at the beginning of your testimony and our translator will assist you. During your comment, please pause after each sentence to allow for the interpreter to translate your comment into English. When the comment period starts, the order of commenters will be determined by who raises their hand first. We will call each commenter by name and will activate each commenter's audio when it is their turn to speak. And for those calling in, we will identify you by the last three digits of your phone number. We will not show a list of remote commenters. However, we will be announcing the next three or so commenters in the queue so you are ready to testify and know who is coming up next. Please note, you will not appear by video during your testimony. I would also like to remind everyone to please state your name for the record before you speak. And this is especially important for those calling in by phone to testify. We will have a time limit for each commenter, and we will begin the comment period with a 3-minute time limit, although this could change at the chair's discretion. During public testimony, you will see a timer on the screen. And for those calling in by phone, we will run the timer and let you know when you have 30 seconds left and then when your time is up. If you require Spanish interpretation for your comment, your time will be doubled. If you wish to submit written comments today, please visit CARB's Send Us Your Comments page or look at the public agenda on our webpage for links to send these documents electronically. Written comments will be accepted on each item until the chair closes the record for that board item. If you experience any technical difficulties, please call 805-772-2715 so that an IT person can assist. This number is noted on the public agenda. Thank you. I'd like to turn the microphone back to Chair Randolph now.
Thank you. The only item on the agenda today is item number 22-13-1, Assembly Bill 617 Community Air Protection Program, Arvin Lamont Community Emissions Reduction Program. If you are here with us in the room and wish to comment on this item, please fill out a request to speak card as soon as possible and submit it to a board assistant. If you are joining us remotely and wish to comment on this item, please click the raise hand button or dial *9 now. We will first call on the in-person commenters, followed by the remote commenters when we get to the public comment portion of the meeting. Assembly Bill 617 established a first-of-its-kind air quality program that works to advance equity and environmental justice by focusing attention and resources on communities most burdened by poor air quality. The California Air Resources Board created the Community Air Protection Program to coordinate its implementation. Since 2018, CARB has accepted 17 communities into the program. We have worked closely with air districts, other government agencies, community partners, and affected industry for 4 years and have come to better understand the challenges facing California's most overburdened communities. We're committed to working together towards more effective and equitable implementation of this program and develop on-the-ground solutions that deliver cleaner air. In February of 2021, this board selected the Arvin Lamont community to develop both a community air monitoring plan and a community emissions reduction program. Arvin Lamont is a rural community in southeastern Kern County at the southern end of the San Joaquin Valley. The community chose the final boundary to include the city of Arvin and the unincorporated areas of Lamont, Weed Patch, and Fuller Acres. Since selection, the district and CARB staff have been working with the Arvin Lamont Community Steering Committee to develop strategies to improve air quality in this community. As you will hear from the staff report, Arvin Lamont's program reflects a wide range of strategies to address community identified priorities. The Arvin Lamont Community Steering Committee unanimously voted in support of the final Arvin Lamont SERP, and again, by unanimous vote, the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District Governing Board adopted it on June 16, 2022. We are excited to now consider Arvin Lamont's Community Emissions Reduction Program. As has become our practice, after the executive officer introduces this item, we will begin the board item by hearing from community leaders. The Arvin Lamont Steering Committee co-leads will start off the presentation, then we'll hear from the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District, and finally, CARB staff. After the presentations, we will take public testimony, and the board will vote on whether to approve the Arvin Lamont Community Emissions Reduction Program. Dr. Cliff, would you please introduce this item?
Thank you, Chair Randolph. In my new role as executive officer for CARB, I am honored to introduce this item that will improve air quality and health at the local level for the Arvin Lamont community. Arvin Lamont is a rural community of about 43 square miles and home to over 41,000 people that have been overburdened by poor air quality due to a combination of mobile, stationary, and area-wide pollution sources. As intended by AB 617, the community, the district, and CARB have come together over the last year and a half to address the combined air pollution exposure faced by the California residents that live, work, and play in this area. The air quality challenges faced and prioritized by this community include pesticides, heavy-duty trucks, on- and off-road dust, agricultural operations, exposures at schools, and industrial sources, including oil and gas operations. I am committed to leading efforts to make real the promise of AB 617 by using a whole government approach. I look forward to collaborating with other state agencies to address the concerns faced by the Arvin Lamont community and using our authorities to address mobile sources. We know that Arvin Lamont and other communities are exposed to some sources of air pollution that are primarily regulated by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, including exhaust from out-of-state trucks moving through the community. CARB and community members have pressured US EPA for strong federal truck rules, which we hope will become final later this year. We want to keep working together at all levels of government to support strong action to reduce air pollution emissions and improve air quality at the community level. I will now ask Chanel Fletcher, the Deputy Executive Officer of the Environmental Justice Program here at CARB, to say a few words. Chanel.
Thank you, Dr. Cliff. As Deputy Executive Officer of Environmental Justice, I oversee CARB's Environmental Justice, Racial Equity, and Community Protection programs. The AB 617 program has been instrumental in changing how CARB and air districts engage with communities and in catalyzing both interdivisional interagency coordination. This has resulted in unique and progressive approaches to improving air quality at the community level through implementation of community emission reduction programs. I'm so pleased to be here today to present our 13th Community Emission Reduction Program, or SERP, to the board. Collectively, these programs represent significant estimated reductions through strategies prioritized by each community. For example, as of June of this year, 16,000 tons of NOx, 1,300 tons of reactive organic gases, and 770 tons of PM are estimated to be reduced through the use of incentives in these community emission reduction plans. To date, about 94% of program funds have been spent in disadvantaged and low-income communities across the state, with about 31% spent in AB 617 communities. Community air protection incentives are applied and administered through a shared effort between CARB, the air districts, and AB 617 communities. I'm so excited to share that just today, CARB has launched a new interactive incentive funding dashboard that was developed in collaboration with community members to show how incentive funds are being spent across the state. Innovative tools have also been developed by air districts. As you'll soon hear from our community and air district presenters, the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District developed an innovative participatory budgeting tool for the Arvin Lamont community.
This tool empowered the Community Steering Committee to make informed decisions about how to prioritize their incentive funding measures. The Arvin-Lamont Community Emission Reduction Program includes incentive measures and a variety of strategies to help reduce air pollution exposure, including enhanced enforcement, community outreach and education, rules and regulations, measures that rely on interagency partnerships. I will now ask Shell Byers, Air Pollution Specialist with the Office of Community Air Protection, to introduce the community co-leads. Michelle.
Thank you, Chanel. Good afternoon, Chair Randolph and board members. I'm very excited to be here today before you as you consider the Arvin-Lamont SERP and staff's recommendation to approve it. Described, and as we usually do for the SERP board meeting, I will present the CARB staff evaluation and recommendations after we first heard from two Community Steering Committee co-leads and then from two Valley Air District representatives. All our speakers are participating remotely. If I could ask our speakers to turn on your videos for a moment, I'd be pleased to introduce you. Okay, thank you. I was waiting to see you up there, but you're not on the big screen. So this afternoon, we have our two co-leads for Arvin-Lamont Steering Committee that we'll hear from, and first is Bianca Santoyo. She's a resident member and community organizer at the Center on Race, Poverty, and Environment. Hopefully she's there and can wave to you all. And then we'll hear from Gustavo Aguirre Jr., who is a Kern County Director of the Central California Environmental Justice Network. And we have two representatives from the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District, Stephanie Ng. She's a senior air quality specialist in the Community Strategies and Resources Department. And finally, we'll have Jessica Olson, who is the Director of Community Strategies and Resources. So let's move to Bianca.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. I'm very happy to see everybody here now towards the end of the approval for the AB 617. I'm here, I'm representing my hometown, where I live, where my children are growing up, and where I want to make a difference in my community and in the future of my children and the future of everybody's families that have been in so disadvantaged, in a so disadvantaged community. And now that we have the AB 617 representing what is a program that is reducing air pollution in the area, which at the moment, we all know that this is the worst air quality in the nation because of how we are set up in the moment. I wanted to give a little bit of background of how long it took to get it approved in the AB 617 in Arvin and Lamont. It took about 3 years. I went with the members since the first day that the whole AB 617 was put up from CARB. And every year we kept pushing and pushing, and we finally got it through on the third year, which is very, very helpful because we were able to learn what in other communities did not work and how we can make it work in this community. The advantages that we did have was the learning experiences from other communities and ways to bring it up in the third year. So I wanted to give thanks. I have a lot of community members here in the room that are here ready to give public comment because this is very important for their community. This is something that they've been working on for many years. And now that they have it approved, are about to get it approved, we're gonna see those changes coming in into the community. All these incentive measures that are gonna reduce a lot of the exposures that are happening in a daily basis. And I wanted to just give a big props that even though we started off with the wrong foot in having the approval, but not knowing what to do, we were even able to add other communities that were in so disadvantaged, like Fuller Acres, that are suffering at the moment and that were not even added in the AB 617. But because of the collaboration that residents are here to support each other, this is helping other AB 617 to let them know, like, hey, these are communities that you could add in the future you're able to help out and you're able to cross collaborate between each other and see changes that are going to happen in throughout the area of AB617 Arvin and Lamont, and that are going to be in an advantage that we're all united, we're all together, and we're all here to support each other. So thank you.
Okay, Gus, I assume you are there and ready to talk with us today.
Yes, how's it going? Good evening, everyone. Buenas tardes. My name is Gustavo Aguirre Jr. Like stated before, I'm the Kern County Coordinator for Central California Environmental Justice Network, and it's a pleasure to be here today to talk about our final step for approval for the AB617 SERP. I want to give just a little bit of historical context of why we're here and how we ended up here. A little bit about myself as well. My environmental justice career actually started in Arvin, and it started with an organization called Global Community Monitoring. And we focused on citizen science research and doing community grab samples and community air capture with residents. To enable them to advocate for themselves, right? And so a big emphasis on that, we started doing with the folks, the community leaders in Arvin and Lamont and the greater South Kern area. We started doing data mapping, so understanding the built environment, understanding the industries around us. We started looking at data like Cal EnviroScreen. We started looking at websites that showcased oil and gas wells in the community, water wells in our community. We started looking at where the aquifers in our community existed, where wastewater from oil and gas was injected, where that was being cleaned and sold to farmers. So we took a long and good look into the Central Valley, our built environment, and started doing community air sampling, right? As we noticed the lack of air monitoring, particularly governmental air monitoring in our communities. And in 2007, CCJN, along with community leaders in South Kern, developed the Arvin Air Monitoring Network. And this was something that was developed and deployed by residents in the community. And it was a first of its kind, really pioneered job that worked with independent contractors and the community to come up with a neighborhood scale community air monitoring project, right? That really showcased folks that live at frontline communities and that live at the forefront of where these emission sources are more exposed than folks that live at greater distances, right? And so because our organization has a robust community air monitoring network and reporting platform known as IVIN, or Identify Violation Affecting Neighborhoods, which is a collaboration of many environmental justice organizations from the US-Mexico border down to the, up to the Bay Area. With these residents, we were able to pass also using citizen science research and air monitoring data, a 300-foot setback in Arvin, right, that dealt with new oil and gas production and environmentally sensitive locations. And part of what got us to that was the citizen science research that we had done with the air monitoring network in Arvin, right? And so with that, residents, once AB617 rolled out, we're happy to be part of this program. We're happy to work in a good standing with all the regulatory agencies that they once, were agitated with and would fight with, right? And a healthy relationship, right? But an aggressive one, right? We learned to all of us, right? Residents, community leaders, regulatory agencies, to sit down and actually have meaningful conversations and look at what is most important, right? So we're grateful that we're here today. Very happy that we have, 30 plus strategies spending $30 million, right? This is not gonna solve everything, but it is a very good step forward. So with that, very pleased to be here and very excited to move forward with this process and implement it. But thank you.
Thank Thank you, Gus. We'll move to Stephanie Ng from the Air District.
Hi, good afternoon, all. My name is Stephanie Ng, and I'm an senior air quality specialist with the Valley Air District. And Michelle, I just want to check in. Oh, perfect. I see the slide deck. Thank you for that introduction. And I'm so honored to be presenting on the amazing work the Arvin-Lamont Community Steering Committee did to develop this CERP. Next slide, please. And I wanted to start off by highlighting a really crucial piece of this process in that it was co-led from the start. The CSC, which was predominantly made up of residents, voted for these co-leads that Michelle just introduced, but again, of course, Bianca and Gustavo. And these co-leads played an integral part of the process by coordinating with the district, CARB, and the facilitation team. They provided constant feedback on meeting presentations, on the CERP measures. They regularly worked with residents and helped to elevate their concerns and questions. And these regular check-ins that we had with the co-leads were really key to the successful adoption of the Arvin-Lamont CERP. Next slide, please. In addition to the co-lead model, the entire CERP really relied upon equitable access to the meetings and materials. All of our meetings were recorded in both English and Spanish. In order to allow for meaningful and diverse community involvement, residents received a $75 stipend per meeting to ensure they were compensated for their time and expenses associated with attending many of these evening meetings. And we wanted to make sure that we were regularly engaging with residents. So before meetings, our staff reached out and called residents to remind them of meetings, to check in, see if they had any questions. And we also provided assistance over the phone and in person to allow for really strong online engagement. Next slide, please. And speaking of materials, these are just a few of the ways in which we solicited community input from the CSC in the mostly virtual environment that we were in. On the left were the results of an exercise the CSC participated in to identify various sources of concern in their community, which are summarized in that top middle image, some of those being pesticides or on and off road dust. And these top sources of concern were really what laid the foundation for the CSC to then be able to develop various clean air measures to address these concerns. Similarly, on the right is a mapping exercise that we worked on with the CSC to identify areas in which they wanted to see community air monitors placed based on different community concerns. Next slide, please. And although most of this process did happen virtually, we were really excited to hold the first in-person meeting in the state since the beginning of the pandemic. We worked with the co-leads to ensure that folks felt comfortable and were interested in participating in person, which there was strong support for. And what you see before you is an exercise that we went through for CSC members to be able to show their level of support for the various CERP measures and to be able to ask questions to the district and CARB staff that were there. And just speaking from the district perspective, we were really so grateful to be able to meet people in person, to be able to share a meal with folks, and to physically be in the South Kern area. So we appreciate all those that came out and participated. Next slide, please. So this is the budgeting tool that Gustavo and Chanel just mentioned. It's an example of a way in which we engaged with community to solicit feedback at the individual level. We took lessons learned from other communities and developed this tool as a way for CSC members to really participate in and give feedback directly on the budget. So the community developed ideas are listed there on the left with a proposed number of units and incentive amount per unit. This tool was translated and individual links were sent out to every single CSC member. And from there, they were able to make adjustments to the funding amounts and to the unit amounts and to be able to see the impacts that that had on the estimated reductions to be achieved in the community. We continued to iterate on this tool for several meetings and taking in all of the feedback from different CSC members, we made adjustments ranging from including or not including certain measures, increasing or decreasing the number of units or total funding amount that ultimately led to the comprehensive CERP before you today. Next slide, please. And so this process led to four main categories of measures, including incentive measures, which I'll actually go over in the next slide. There were also several measures related to enhanced enforcement and regulatory actions, such as enhanced stationary source inspections. There were several measures related to education and outreach. And finally, there were also measures related to agency partnerships, with a high priority being placed on pesticide notification and management. Next slide, please. And through the work of the CSC, community co-leads, and many agency partners, the comprehensive CERT being presented to you today was unanimously supported by the CSC. It includes 31 measures with over 30 million in CERT incentive funding being invested in the community, reducing over 700 tons of total emissions. Next slide. And this slide shows all the different partners through the process. I won't go through each and every one, but in addition to the co-leads, all of these agencies and community groups were critical in the development of the CERT strategies. For many of these agencies, they themselves made commitments of their own to be able to achieve what's being laid before you today. Next slide, please. And in closing off, we really wanted to highlight that we didn't wait until today to start implementation. Once we had support from the CSC and the district governing board approved it, we immediately started to focus on implementation. We jumped into exercises with the CSC to prioritize community identified projects. Enhanced enforcement measures are already underway, and we are working with community members to conduct outreach and provide information on educational tools. And finally, based on desire from the CSC, we did kick off our highest priority measure and held the first pesticide subcommittee on September 27th. It was co-led and supported by various agencies like DPR, OEHA, and the Kern County Ag Commissioner. And we look forward to continuing to work with this group to hold more meetings moving forward. And that concludes my presentation on the community-led process to develop the Arvin-Lamont SERP. And I'll go ahead and pass to Jessica Olson to discuss the statewide implementation of AB 617.
Thank you, Stephanie. While my slides are being brought up, I'll reintroduce myself. My name is Jessica Olson. I am the Director of Community Strategies and Resources. And I just want to start off by thanking our co-leads, Bianca Santoyo and Gustavo Aguirre Jr., who have just been such fabulous partners in this. And then thanking CARB, of course, who I just realized at the end of that slide, it should have included also CARB, who was such a great partner in that pesticide subcommittee. So I'd be remiss to not remind all of us of that. So if we can pull up my slides as well. Thank you, and go ahead and maybe just go to the next slide. So much of what Bianca said is so true, and that Arvin-Lamont being selected in the third year really means we're building on all of the lessons learned across the other communities, not only across the state, but certainly the other three, what I'm going to call implementation communities here in the Valley. We of course have four selected communities. They're described here for you today. South Central, Fresno, and Shafter, of course, for year one. Stockton had their SERP approved by your board just last summer. And then of course, today we're speaking of the Arvin-Lamont process. So next slide, please. So much of what we've been working on in these communities, it's beyond incentives what's in these SERPs, but a lot of the day-to-day work and a lot of the work we do with the CSCs focuses a lot on the incentives measures, which really is where we get the majority of the emissions reductions. And the reason I'm highlighting this today is it's an important part of the lessons learned in implementing Arvin moving forward is looking how we've supported and spent some of the CAP funding so far. Most of the SERPs, as you may recall, and as you see before you today, are really made up of community identified incentives projects. So those being ones that aren't in the pre-approved CAP funding guidelines, which in our SERPs at least are listed here on the left. All of those in the second column are all of the CERT measures that are across the board in the implementation communities that the CSC and the district and CARB have already worked on collectively getting approved by CARB in order to fund these really innovative projects that are beyond the CAP incentives guidelines. And of course, there are still several others that we're working with CARB to approve, which are in the other two columns. I'm gonna highlight for you just a couple, next slide please. A couple of the successful community identified projects that we've already been able to implement. Certainly many of them are very unique. So of course, here on the left, this is the truck reroute and health study. It's a very high priority study for the South Central Fresno community. And we were able not only to get approval by CARB to fund this study, but then also worked closely really over a number of years with the community to have community input on what the project plan looked like, then input on what the RFP looked like. The community members selected the contractor with the city of Fresno, who actually is the head of this study. And we finally kicked off that process, which was long, but certainly worthwhile to make sure that it was done in a way community folks envisioned it when they put it in their SERP. Here in the center is an example. Those are old gas lawnmowers from South Central Fresno community residents at a lawnmower exchange event. We've actually also held one in Shafter, and we are planning to hold another in South Central Fresno here in a couple of weeks for residents to drop off gas lawnmowers and get free electric lawnmowers, and really a community led engagement event held in their communities and make it really accessible and equitable for folks to participate. And then here on the right, this is an example of a really innovative and emissions reductions heavy measure in the Shafter SERP that was recently completed. So we aimed to exchange 25 nut harvesters and replace them with low dust equipment. And that was successfully completed just a couple of months ago. So we are certainly making progress on the high emissions reduction measures, but certainly many more measures to come. So next slide, please. Of course, as was mentioned earlier by Chanel, the CAP resources aren't just spent in AB 617 communities. We have spread resources across disadvantaged communities throughout the Valley. A total of $180 million in CAP and match funds have been invested in Valley disadvantaged communities to date, achieving over 8,000 tons of emissions reductions, primarily NOx reductions. Here in the center column are examples of what some of those projects are. I've already mentioned the gas lawnmowers. Of course, many of them, nearly 1,000 of them, off-road diesel equipment, school buses, and wood-burning devices, many of which are in those SERPs, so in those community-identified projects, actually. And then here on the right, I think it's important to remind us it's not just focused resources in the funding sense for CAP emissions reductions, but also focused resources for the non-incentives measures, like amending rules, of which we've amended 9, targeting sources that are of community concern, like gas melting furnaces, or biomass power plants, as well as just in 617 communities alone, so those 3 implementation communities, we've conducted over 1,500 permitted source inspections, issued over 700 notices of violation, and held over 465 outreach and media events, and that does include meetings with residents and community members. Next slide. Of course, as was mentioned earlier, it's not just about the SERP. So this is just a snapshot of some of the access to real-time information based on the community-designed air quality networks that we have deployed. In the light blue, you see those are community-designed locations in Fresno, in this example, of places we've deployed community air monitoring. These are all regulatory grade, meaning they're not just sensors. These are fixed PM 2.5 monitors or more. In some cases, they are collecting toxic samples, doing speciation, and really targeting community concerns within their area. Next slide. Finally, of course, this is all about genuine community engagement. And in reviewing this slide for this presentation, it took me a second. All of these pictures are within the past year, which is pretty incredible given the virtual environment we had operated under. These are examples here in the upper left-hand corner of some passing out flyers with community partners at schools within the AB 617 boundary to remind folks not to idle and how to take advantage of programs. The upper right-hand corner, Bianca Santoyo does not just work in Arvin-Lamont. She is also a member of our Shafter Committee. And this is her with Shafter residents at the lawnmower exchange event we held within their community just last winter. Down in the bottom left, we give grants, mini grants to organizations to conduct some of this outreach work. And that's us down in Stockton working hand in hand with community members. The center bottom picture, that's actually Samir Sheikh, our APCO executive director, working with staff to load an electric lawnmower in the back of someone's vehicle in South Central Fresno. And then of course, the bottom right is just another reminder of that community capacity building in person we did in Shafter, and a very important part of the CERT before you. Next slide. Just really quickly, again, not going to read all of these. It would be impossible without the agencies, both at the local levels, of course, the state level, and then of course, the community partnerships with all of the folks listed here and the many more that aren't listed because they are residents of these communities and don't necessarily have a logo to list here. Finally, next slide. I believe it's so important that all of this builds to what we can learn and move forward on. One of the main things you probably noticed is a lot of the community identified really innovative measures that you saw in our earlier SERPs are also in the Arvin-Lamont SERP. So it's really important as we move forward to work with CARB to streamline the process, to develop those plans and improve them and move them forward. We also want to highlight that we have continued to evaluate measures to work with the CSCs to communicate incentives progress and have started to shift funding from measures to measures based on around CSC support and board approval. Some examples include adding funding in Shafter, Fresno, and Stockton to our residential wood burning measures to make those measures more equitable for residents. We've also identified new measures. Some examples in Shafter and Fresno include adding an indoor residential air filtration measure to the SERP based on community priority and community concerns. And then finally, it's just paramount that we always continue to learn about equal access for all. It's not only about providing language access for a lot of our Spanish speaking residents, but of course, accessibility. We have provided American Sign Language and we'll continue to evaluate that as we move forward. So I want to thank you for your time. Thank you for everyone so far who's participated and presented, and pass it to Michelle. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jessica. That was great. Apologies for any of the repetition because we all have very similar congratulations on a lot of the SERP measures. So first, I want to take a moment to acknowledge Gus and Bianca, who have provided such excellent leadership for the Arvin-Lamont Community Steering Committee. They went above and beyond to hold meetings outside of the regular CSC meetings, as well as one-on-one and in small group discussions with community members. You've invested countless hours to help your community, and you are so very appreciated. The whole Community Steering Committee also deserves a moment of recognition and thanks for your extensive efforts and dedication to fitting this work into your already busy lives. And I also want to acknowledge and thank Jessica Olson and her entire team at the Valley Air District for their commitment to this process, their leadership and responsiveness to the Arvin-Lamont community priorities. This SERP truly represents a new level of collaboration between the community and the district, and we applaud you all. Now I have a brief presentation focusing on an overview of the SERP, staff's evaluation, and our recommendations. Let's take a quick step back before we move forward into the specifics of the Community Emissions Reduction Program to provide a little extra visual context for this community. This map shows that Arvin-Lamont is one of four AB617 communities served by the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District, and that it lies at the southernmost part of the San Joaquin Valley. Of the four communities, Shafter and South Central Fresno were selected in the first year of the Community Air Protection Program, and they are now well into implementation. Stockton was selected in year two and is also now implementing their SERP. The Arvin-Lamont community was selected as a third year community. It is located at the base of the Tehachapi mountain range with mountains on two sides and located downwind of the lower valley. This map shows how regional as well as local air pollutants get trapped in the Arvin-Lamont community. On this map, we're pointing out that Kern County is home to two of those rural AB617 communities, Arvin-Lamont and Shafter. The two communities share similar air pollutant concerns, including agricultural related emissions, as well as heavy duty and other mobile source emissions. The Arvin-Lamont CSC even invited the Shafter CSC to participate in their pesticide subcommittee. On this next map, we're showing that one of the first things the community did was expand the initial boundaries to include several of the smaller areas within the final Arvin-Lamont community boundaries. The boundary now includes the city of Arvin and the unincorporated areas of Lamont, Fuller Acres, Hilltop, and historic Weed Patch, which has been home to migrant workers since the Great Depression. The Arvin-Lamont community covers about 43 square miles and has over 41,000 people. And they established one of the largest CSCs in the program, originating with 70 members, including several whole families. They still maintain about 66 people on the committee, showing a real commitment to participating in this process. As you heard from Gus and Bianca, Arvin-Lamont is a community that has been learning, monitoring, and advocating for better air quality in their community for decades. They have moved from being studied to actively participating in air quality monitoring to where they are now, having developed this SERP, which is going to make a positive impact in their community and bring direct benefits to the residents. With more than 20 years of work behind them, the Arvin-Lamont community worked in partnership with the Valley Air District to bring the SERP before this board today. Now let's talk about the CERP. As you heard Stephanie explain, Arvin-Lamont Community Steering Committee prioritized their sources of concern, which included heavy-duty trucks, dust, ag operations, including pesticides, and industrial sources like oil and gas operations. The Arvin-Lamont CERP addresses these concerns by using a wide variety of clean air strategies, including partnerships, outreach efforts, enhanced enforcement, regulatory, and incentive-based approaches. Incentive-based strategies include an investment of $30 million in clean air projects that, over the lifetime, will reduce hundreds of tons of health-harming emissions. The emission reduction measures selected for the final CERP were designed through a cooperative, community-driven process, and the final CERP was unanimously supported by the Community Steering Committee, followed by a unanimous vote by the District Board to adopt it. In the previous slide, we highlighted the hundreds of tons of potential emission reductions from incentive projects that were the steering committee and the air district. Here, we also want to touch on how CARB statewide measures will impact air quality in this community. This graph shows estimated emission reductions in Arvin-Lamont from CARB statewide regulatory actions over the next 10 years. Along the horizontal axis, moving left to right, we have included diesel particulate matter, abbreviated as DPM, volatile organic compounds, or VOCs, and oxides of nitrogen, or NOx. The height of the bars along the vertical axis shows the potential percentage of emission reductions. These estimated reductions show the impact of the regulation compared to expected emissions in 10 years, assuming business as usual, as if these state regulations never existed. The different colors of bars represent the six different CARB regulations included in this estimate. As you can see, these CARB actions are expected to result in substantial emission reductions for these three pollutants of concern for the Arvin-Lamont community. Let's take a moment to look at the measures included in the Arvin-Lamont CERP. The CERP contains a variety of strategies, some of which are shared on this slide and in the staff report and also described previously by the district. To address their priority concerns, the Community Steering Committee chose to include incentive measures that would replace up to 30 heavy-duty diesel trucks with cleaner technologies, including zero-emission trucks, and replace up to 50 pieces of agricultural equipment, such as tractors. Plus, to benefit the community directly, they have chosen an incentive to replace up to 350 residential gas-powered lawn and garden equipment. They've also addressed mobile sources locally by offering up to $800 towards vehicle repair of high-emitting vehicles through five different events that will be held in the community, and up to $20,000 towards as many as 200 new fuel-efficient vehicles. On this next slide, we show additional measures that were chosen by the steering committee to reduce emission exposures, including transportation infrastructure improvements to promote active transportation and reduce dust, regulatory strategies that will evaluate stationary source rules for additional emissions, and expedite hotspots reassessments. They've also chosen to enhance inspection frequency of stationary source facilities with emissions violations. The AB 617 process relies on strong partnerships across and coordination across agencies to address community priorities that fall outside of either their district or CARB jurisdiction. Accordingly, the steering committee and the district are continuing to partner and collaborate with several state agencies and local agencies. They have worked with the California Department of Pesticide Regulation, otherwise called DPR, the Kern County Agricultural Commissioner, the Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment, or OEHA, and CARB to develop a measure with multiple actions regarding pesticides concerns. This includes a commitment by DPR and CARB to identify and monitor pesticides in the area, and by OEHA to help evaluate the potential health risks. and the steering committee has already established a pesticide subcommittee to support this effort. They are also working with the City of Arvin, Kern County, Kern Council of Governments, and Caltrans to perform a truck rerouting study. In another important partnership, CARB is committed to working with the community and the district to address concerns and complaints about oil and gas operations. And as directed by the governor's office, we'll use our leadership on the Methane Task Force, along with the California Geologic Energy Management Division, or CalGEM, the California Environmental Protection Agency, and the California Natural Resource Agency to lift up the CERP commitments that address oil and gas concerns in Arbor-Lamont. Lastly, the steering committee also chose to do some important work towards increasing air quality impact awareness in the local community and at schools specifically. Let's shift now to CARB's evaluation of the CERP. The Arbor-Lamont CERP has several strengths. One of the primary strengths is how it benefited from having an experienced district, several experienced committee members, including the co-leaders, and agencies that also have previous experience in the AB617 program. The capacity built through previous program experience really shined through during CERP development with Arbor-Lamont community and helped to facilitate a steady pace and a collaborative space. This experience led to support for the steering committee structure that has elected two co-leaders, as you heard, that you heard from today, Gus and Bianca. As I previously mentioned, these co-leaders assisted the district and the process by working outside of regular committee meetings, as they held their own meetings without government presence and met one-on-one with residents as needed. They supported the community through technical challenges and helped them to understand the process, regulations, and proposals coming before the full committee. And in turn, they gathered the committee support and brought their questions to the regular meeting. Another strength is accessibility to the process that is rooted in language justice. Meetings were held on Zoom in the evening to be more accessible for member schedules, and they were facilitated by a third party to help build communication. The Arbor-Lamont Steering Committee was the first CSC to have an in-person meeting after the pandemic. This meeting promoted communication between the community members and the agencies and allowed fruitful discussions that helped shape the final CERP measures. It was likely a key to building support for the final CERP. All meetings, including the in-person meeting, provided simultaneous Spanish-English interpretation to increase accessibility and communication. All materials were also provided in Spanish, and the district also mailed hard copies for anyone requesting it. The district used several online tools to help the committee communicate, such as Social Pinpoint, a mapping platform used to identify locations of sources and emission concerns, and Jamboard, another platform that allows real-time written idea sharing and online documents to track action items. And also they provided members with laptops and internet connections to close the technology gaps and ensure members could fully participate in online forums. And as Jessica presented earlier, the district also developed their own distinctive participatory budgeting tool that empowered the steering committee to make informed decisions about incentive measures for their CERP. When this tool was introduced, the district offered virtual and in-person office hours at a local library to help people understand and use it. They also made direct calls to the community to communicate with the committee members to ensure everyone could participate. All of these efforts helped ensure deep engagement within a primarily virtual setting. We believe that the built capacity based on prior program experience led to another key strength, the early and continued engagement of agency partners. For instance, the city and three county department representatives are members of the steering committee, which was instrumental in bringing actionable measures to the CERP. And other partners, including DPR and the County Ag Commissioner, have participated in all meetings right from the beginning, helping to ensure the inclusion of detailed measures. Early partner participation from the start of the process by multiple agencies was a significant piece of this process that prompted substantial measures to be included in the CERP with specific actions to address some of the community's primary concerns, such as pesticides, mobile sources, dust, oil and oil and gas operations. Staff identified some specific actions that the district and CARB staff can take together in collaboration with the steering committee to strengthen the SERP implementation phase. These actions include continuing to work with the community steering committee to prioritize and refine strategies to detail to a detail that was not achievable during the development phase. To this end, the district should again, as needed, use the participatory budgeting tool as a means to reassess the community priorities on projects and incentive funding. To keep building trust with the community, the district should continue to transparently track and communicate incentive expenditures and progress on SERP measures, continue its practice of regularly reviewing the CSC governance to ensure it continues to meet the needs of the community, and consider setting goals or guiding principles for the SERP in collaboration with the steering committee to create a shared sense of purpose, values, and goals. It often happens that some community-identified priorities may not fall neatly within either Air District or CARB jurisdictions, and partnerships are critical to meeting the community-identified priorities. As we discussed earlier, partnerships have been a real strength of the Arvin-Lamont SERP development process. Staff suggests that those partnerships be maintained and that district and the steering committee with CARB support explore the possibility of creating new collaborations that could help meet community priorities. CARB staff suggests that community members and the district strive to solidify collective actions and clarify respective roles wherever possible. CARB staff are committed to helping bridge the gaps between local agencies, communities, and other state agencies as the SERP is being implemented over the next 5 years. And with that, staff recommends that the board approve the Arvin-Lamont Community Emission Reduction Program and direct CARB staff, the Air District, and the Community Steering Committee to work together to strengthen implementation. Additionally, staff recommends that the board direct the Air District to include progress updates and on identified actions in annual reports. And that concludes our presentation. Thank you again to our guest speakers for your time and your commitment to the Arvin-Lamont community. Chair Randolph, I turn it back to you.
All right. Thank you so much to Bianca and Gus and Stephanie and Jessica and Michelle for that great presentation. We will now hear from the public who have signed up to speak on this item by either submitting a request to speak card or by raising their hand or dialing *9 in Zoom. So I will ask the board clerks to begin calling the commenters.
Thank you. Okay, we have no in-person commenters, so we'll turn to the Zoom commenters, and we are going to start with Estella Escolto. Estella, I've activated your microphone. You can unmute and begin.
Buenas tardes a todos. ¿Sí me escuchan?
Sí. Go ahead.
Can you hear me? Sí. Sí, buenas tardes.
Good afternoon, everyone. ¿Puede decir su nombre, por favor, y su apellido?
Okay. Bueno, pues yo nada más estoy aquí apoyando el proyecto de las,
señora Estela, ¿podría
de las barreras vegetativas para mi comunidad? Ya que nosotros aquí vivimos en la ciudad de Arvin y estamos rodeados de files y todos los árboles de almendras nos contaminan mucho a la comunidad. Entonces, por eso yo estoy apoyando que pongan barreras vegetativas para que nos protejan de toda esa contaminación que trae el polvo.
Señora Estela, ¿podría dar su primer nombre y su apellido, por favor?
Mi nombre es Estela Escoto y soy de la ciudad de Arvin.
My name is Estela Soto and I'm from the Arvin City. Yeah, si por favor puede pausar después de cada frase. Si nos hace el favor de pausar después de cada frase. Estela Soto had stated that she is from the community of Arvin and they're surrounded by fields of almond trees, which create a lot of pollution for the community. And that's why she's here supporting this rule. Would you like to start the clock on her again or not? Por favor, continúe, señora. Señora Estela, ¿quiere continuar?
Mi nombre es Salvador Partida y yo quiero apoyar el proyecto de las estaciones eléctricas aquí en la ciudad de Irvine para tener acceso a las cargas de los carros eléctricos, incluyendo los buses eléctricos que pusimos ahí para las escuelas. Esos tienen que estar aquí accesibles para el público.
My name is
Sabaoth. En la ciudad de Irvine, en Lamont.
Mucho gusto, señor Sabaoth. ¿Cuál es su apellido de nuevo, por favor? ¿Cuál es su apellido?
Mi nombre es Salvador Partida.
Salvador. Okay, my name is Salvador Partida. I'm here to support this project and especially to have more access to the electric vehicles, especially the electric buses as well as the cars, and that they could be more accessible to the community as well. ¿Quiere continuar, por favor? Don Salvador, ¿quiere usted continuar?
Mi nombre es Odón Chávez, soy del Comité por el Mejor. Yo estoy para el proyecto primero para la comunidad sobre los monitores los monitores que tienen la C-17 que hemos votado en las anteriores juntas. Me preocupa la calidad del aire porque hay personas como ancianos, niños que tienen algún problema respiratorio como el asma y no sabemos qué partículas o qué lo está causando. Entonces, como nuestra ciudad está muy contaminada, pues yo estoy pidiendo para nuestra comunidad, primero para nuestra comunidad de Irvine y Lamont, que estamos en la C-17, porque hay muchas personas que están enfermas, pero a veces no saben por qué lo causa o qué es la causa. Entonces, tenemos los monitores en los lugares, primero para nuestra ciudad, o para las ciudades que hemos mencionado, Lamont y Irvine, vamos a saber qué es lo que nos está, podemos hacer algo más para que nos ayude a reducir esa contaminación que nos está causando a personas más vulnerables en nuestra comunidad. Nuevamente, mi nombre es Odón Chávez García. Y soy de la comunidad de Irvine.
My name is Mr. Chávez García. I'm from the Irvine community, and I'm one of the people who have been involved from the beginning as a monitor for the C-17 area. And we're very worried about the air quality because there's a lot of children and elderly people with asthma, and I'm in support of this rule because there's also a lot of particulate matter, and we don't know what causes their sickness. Many people don't know what causes their sickness, and so we're asking that you approve this. And especially in the Irvine-Lamont area in the C-16, there's a lot of sick people, and the causes of this mean that we're very concerned about the air quality in this area.
Translator, would you like to ask the speakers to just pause so that you have a chance to catch up?
I take notes, but le pido, por favor, a los siguientes que, por favor, tomen pausas lo suficiente para que yo pueda tomar mejores notas y poder interpretar más completamente sus oraciones. ¿Me escuchan bien?
Buenas tardes, mi nombre es Gabriela Ojeda y yo vivo en la comunidad de Irvine y estoy dando mi comentario porque quiero pedir que en los proyectos que se han aprobado, por favor, den prioridad a la a los proyectos primero en la comunidad y después las otras industrias. Como por ejemplo, nosotros, uno de los proyectos son las cortadoras de césped para la comunidad. Entonces, es como un ejemplo que eso es lo que queremos primero. Hay otros proyectos más. Muchas gracias.
Hello, my name is Gabriela Ojeda. I'm from the Arvin community, and I'd like to approve these projects, but to give priority to first the communities and second to the industries. For example, one of the main projects that is being implemented is the lawn project, and that is one of the lawn cutting project, which is one of the ones that we are in support of as well. ¿Quiere continuar, señora Gabriela?
Buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Diana Mireles y soy residente de Lamont. Igual que mis compañeros, estoy aquí para pedir para que los proyectos que pedimos para la comunidad sean la prioridad. En este caso, yo apoyo el de las banquetas porque nuestras comunidades tenemos muchas calles que no tienen banqueta. En tiempo de aire es mucho polvo y los niños caminan sobre lodo o sobre tierra hacia sus escuelas. Entonces, por favor, todos los proyectos que son prioridad para la comunidad, que se vayan primero todos esos fondos hacia nosotros. Gracias.
Hello, my name is Diana Mireyes. I'm a Lamont resident, and the same as my other co-leaders, same as my compañeros, my other compañeros, I support projects that give priority to community. For example, I support the development of more sidewalks because there's lots of dust. And so the children have to walk through the dust on the way to school, and which causes a lot of problems there.
¿Hay algún otro comentarista? Buenas tardes. El siguiente comentarista, si por favor puede empezar dando su nombre para que conste en actas.
Ya se acabaron los public comment aquí.
This is the end of the public comments.
Okay, next we will hear from Grisha Orozco. Grisha, I've activated your microphone. Please unmute and begin.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Good evening, everyone. My name is Grecia Orozco, and I'm commenting on behalf of the Center on Race, Poverty, and the Environment, and in solidarity with the residents of Arvin and Lamont. The city of Arvin, communities of Lamont, Hilltop, Fuller Acres, and Weed Patch collectively experience unprecedented cumulative exposure to pollutants emitted by oil and gas refineries, local agricultural operations, and industrial sources. As such, I'm here to uplift the priorities of Arvin and Lamont residents now that CARB has the opportunity to approve and adopt their AB 617 CERT. First, we ask that the board provide support to residents during Arvin and Lamont's CERT implementation once approved. We ask that this support is shown by uplifting and pushing to implement the measures that are prioritized by this community that have just been voiced just now. Of note, residents want Measure 3.C from the CERP to be prioritized by this board as well as responsible agencies. Under this measure, the agencies would work together to assess road improvements, sidewalks, and bike path infrastructure needs. And this is a priority because currently the increased dust generation associated with unpaved sidewalks is associated with cardiovascular and respiratory health complications. During wet seasons, the lack of sidewalks also threatens residents with the risk of flooding, as well as posing a danger to residents who commute by foot, forced to share roads with oncoming traffic, and also increase inhalation of vehicle exhaust. Assessing road improvements is therefore a priority that these community members have been asking for years, and CARB should push to uplift that priority. In addition to Measure 3.C, residents hope to see CARB support them by prioritizing 3.B for vegetative barriers and 3.A for urban greening. And both of these measures would mitigate local agricultural air and dust pollution. And we all understand that these measures would take a significant amount of time to plan and execute. Therefore, it's imperative that discussion and planning for these measures begin immediately once this SERP is approved, because CARB's responsibility is to ensure that funding is approved and prioritized towards the goals that best reflect this community. We urge CARB today to commit to supporting these community-based measures when approving the SERP. These recommendations best reflect the community's current needs, and prioritizing them would give them better faith that local and state agencies have their best interests in mind. Thank you.
Thank you. And then lastly, we'll hear from Emma De La Rosa. Emma, I've activated your microphone. Please unmute and you can begin.
Good evening. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to provide comment. My name is Emma De La Rosa. I'm the Regional Policy Manager with Leadership Council for Justice and Accountability, and we work with residents in the 617 boundary, primarily with residents of Fuller Acres and Lamont. I want to provide some feedback on some of the measures. But first of all, I want to thank CARB and also the Air District for all of the work in this project. And so to begin with the feedback, I want to raise the need to focus a lot more on stationary sources. There really has not been too much of a discussion on stationary sources and the way that the measure 4A would be implemented in the CSC meetings. And in addition to that, measure 4A states that the Air District will conduct at least two inspections in the 9 facilities unannounced whenever possible. And there must be transparency and communication to the CSC on which facilities were inspected and the outcomes of the inspections. Residents also push that these inspections be unannounced. Residents work in the fields. A lot of folks work in the packing sheds. They know and they've seen practices of their employer trying to hide violations whenever they know that OSHA will be there. It's the same thing that will happen at the refineries and other facilities if they are announced. And therefore, residents ask and urge the Air District that these announcements or that these inspections be unannounced and that there is complete transparency on what the outcome of those inspections are. If that information can be provided during the CSC meeting, that would be great. It will also be awesome to have that information provided on the website. Moving on to measure 5A, reducing exposure to pesticide in the community, I do want to raise that residents were really urging the Air District and the CSC to vote for buffer zones and for notification systems in the community. Unfortunately, those were not included in the SERP, which I believe is a huge disappointment. But we really hope that these partnerships that are part of the SERP will lead to buffer zones and notification systems. And we ask for CARB's support for the implementation of those two strategies. Also, the schools that are located near the fields already receive information regarding the pesticides that are applied. That was also suggested as before the SERP was finalized to provide the information that is provided to schools to the CSC. That the information has been already collected, it's already there. Taking the extra step to provide the pesticides that are being applied near the schools is something else that the Air District or the Eye Commissioner can do to ensure that folks are informed of the pesticide use. Lastly, the idle wells, while that measure provides the partnerships, it does not discuss the communication that will happen after the investigations occur.
That concludes your time.
Transparency. Thank you.
Thanks. And that concludes the commenters for this item.
All right, thank you. If staff doesn't have any issues they need to raise with regard to the comments, I will go ahead and close the record on this agenda item. And we will bring the discussion to the board. Board members, do you have any questions or comments at this time? Dr. Balms.
Thank you, Chair Randolph. And I just really am so pleased to hear how this process at Arvin Lamont has gone so smoothly. I know the community waited for a long time to be selected as an AB 617 community, but that wait, as several people mentioned, paid off because I think both the Community Steering Committee, co-leads and members, as well as the district, had learned lessons from previous AB 617 community air monitoring and SERP efforts, especially in Shafter, you know, a related community in terms of both exposures and concerns. So I think this, to my mind, is one of the best SERPs, if not the best process that, you know, has been presented to the board to date. It shows that over time we can sort of get things right. And, you know, as somebody who's been studying air pollution health effects in the San Joaquin Valley for a long time, you know, I, including actually in the Arvin-Lamont area now, as Gus knows, because he's a collaborator on a project that I'm involved in, it's important to improve the health of this community by adopting the SERP. And really hearty congratulations to, and I strongly support the resolution before us. Thank you.
Thank you. Mrs. Reardon.
Yes, I couldn't agree more with Dr. Baums about this effort. Everyone is to be congratulated, the community members, the district, and our staff. I'm just so pleased. Having driven through Arvin-Lamont for some 25 years, I know what the pollution is like just visually. I don't live there, but I can see it. And I just hope that the implementation goes as smoothly as the development of this SERP. And I, like Dr. Baums, certainly support the resolution that is in front of us and will be very happy to see the improvements as they take place in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Pacheco Werner.
Thank you, Chair. Muchas gracias a todos por sus comentarios y por su esfuerzo en este proceso. Se les agradece. Thank you so much to everyone who's been part of this process and given their time to do this extensive work. I know it's not been easy, and I know that, you know, thank you to SAV staff and to CARB staff for really taking those lessons learned and moving them forward. I know that there's a lot going on in terms of what the implementation is going to look like, and I'm glad that there's already discussion happening as to how projects will be prioritized. And I know that the district is committed to making sure that each one of these projects that are in the SERP go through and get implemented. That is definitely the intention. And I know that, you know, to some, what some of others spoke about, ongoing processes, and definitely hear you as you engage and we engage on statewide processes, on some of the things that we still have to work out with our partners at DPR and CalGEM. So really thankful for every single partner that's been part of this. And I know that the work continues, and just congratulations to all of you. And I look forward to seeing the progress of this and seeing how the community gathers together to make sure now that these wonderful projects that have been envisioned together now get implemented. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Board Member Chakvorian.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you to everyone who is here today from the community, starting with the community residents who have clearly contributed so much to this process, and such a lot of hard work, and particularly during such a difficult time. Also appreciations to the Air District and to CARB. It's clear that the continuous evidence is that the stronger the community involvement is during the Community Steering Committee and the SERP development, the better it is. And I agree with Dr. Baums that we see how each SERP is building on the next, and it just or building on the one before it, sorry, and that that there's really distressing similarities between them, but now there's growing opportunities between them. So I think it's very exciting. I did want to ask staff or of CARB or the district to respond to at least one of the questions that was raised by Leadership Council in regards to the pesticide exposures, in regards to the fact that the buffer zones and the notifications were not included. So I wanted to hear more about that and about why that decision was made. I support the resolution and want to congratulate the CSC and the community and thank you for your hard work, but I would like to hear more about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Board Member Tekforian. I'll go ahead and start, and then certainly Jessica Olson, if you would like to contribute, please feel free. So 2 points raised there. One, on the pesticide notification system, we are continuing to work very closely with the Department of Pesticide Regulation in the statewide notification. They have workshops underway. They have committed to not only participate in the pesticide subcommittee that the Air District has convened, but also to ensure that their outreach efforts for the statewide program are informed by the community steering committees, particularly those that have raised concerns related to pesticides, such as Shafter and of course, Arvin-Lamont. So that is underway. I believe that we also heard that the Kern County Commissioner has continued to participate, including in the pesticide subcommittee. And we think that's very hopeful to keep those doors of communication open. And I'm pleased that our 617 program has been able to catalyze that kind of forum. No, it's not always the answer that communities always want at the top, but it is a path to get there. And so the second piece about buffers, I hope that that subcommittee can also be a place where we can build support for community priorities such as buffers. But you are right, it did not make it into the SERP as a measure. It was something that the Community Steering Committee discussed. And just to point out again, the Community Steering Committee did unanimously vote to approve the SERP as it appears today. Jess, I don't know if there's anything you'd like to add.
I will add, just to support everything Delvi just said, we did, in order to sort of, and I'll quote Senor Gustavo Aguirre in this, we did leave the door open in that pesticide subcommittee to talk about things like buffers. We did include sort of a general measure about providing opportunities for public engagement and feedback on development of mitigation practices. And mitigation practices can include buffer zones. And we define that early on in the measure description, talking about mitigation practices such as application buffers within the community. So again, leaving the door open, acknowledging the concern that Leadership Council just brought up, and looking forward to that continued engagement as we kicked off that committee.
Okay, thank you. Board Member De La Torre.
I wanted to thank staff. I wanted to thank the San Joaquin Air District. I would mirror what Dr. Baums said about this is an iterative process and everyone's learning from everyone else that has gotten to this point. And you know, the next ones will learn from these. But I also want to reiterate my mantra from the beginning. This is all a sampler platter, and this is a rural community with certain characteristics that are similar to other rural communities. So we're bringing again the benefit, whether it's on regulations, whether it's on mitigation, whether it's on enforcement, from these other practices and the other 617 communities to this rural community that has these characteristics. So just 617 is working in terms of the setup. We're early in terms of the results because we're just doing the plans, but we are seeing progress in terms of learning from one to the other, strengthening them. And then now we have to go out and get the results. But this phase of it is working exactly as designed. And I want to thank staff for doing that, for babysitting this process to where we are. And I'm very pleased about where we are. And I love hearing that the community is engaged at this level and that they're getting what they want out of this process. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Flores.
Hi. So I want to say thank you, Gus. Great job. I think, obviously, having represented the Arvin-Lamont community, and I will add Wheat Patch to that, a long time coming, I do feel like this is one community that has really rallied around things that will have the most immediate impact. And I do want to congratulate the entire committee. It's amazing chapter now, Arvin-Lamont. This is a long time coming, and I do want to say thank you to staff for spending so much time as well. I'm just very happy for the community. I think, more than anything, it's going to be a big shot in the arm. And more importantly, I have a feeling that this is just beginning. I think, as Hector just said, this is a sampler plate with one of the best samplers on thus far. So I want to say thank you, and Gus, congratulations to you and the team.
All right, board member Hurt.
Thank you, Chair. Every time we add another community, I definitely get very excited for those communities, just thinking about the great relief that some of these families will receive and how much lives will be enriched and just overall health improved. And so I 100% support the resolution. I want to thank the community members for their trust and diligence and just commitment in the process. I heard you, Gus, when you said sometimes there was tension, but in the end, we have collaborated. And I definitely appreciated hearing that and noting that, because we are all evolving and learning together. I also wanted to note, I think it's amazing the sheer number of steering committee members that work through the decision-making process. As I understand, there were many digits and there were many individuals all working together for the SERP. And sometimes that in and of itself is a really hard process, let alone the issues that they're dealing with. And if I could too, just uplift the citizen science monitoring. I think there's a wealth of knowledge there, and just filling in data gaps, as well as the participatory budgeting tool. I think it's marvelous, and I hope it's a model for other AB617 communities. So many thanks as well to staff, and I applaud the Air District for just releasing some of the control over the process. As someone who represents the Bay Area Air Quality Air District, that is not an easy task, and you all did that quite well. And so I'm so hopeful for the implementation phase. This is an important milestone, and I thank everyone who's gotten us to this day, including CARB. Thank you.
Board Member Eisenhut.
Thank you, Chair. I'm pleased to offer a motion for approval of Resolution 22-13-1.
Okay, we have one more comment from Vice Chair Berg. And
and I will be delighted to second, John.
And
Chair, Dr. Bones?
Yeah, I forgot one thing. I'll be quick. I want to give a shout out to Stephanie Yang, who is my graduate student at Berkeley, for her contribution to this effort. And I just want to say her capstone project for her MPH was studying the AB617 process in South Fresno. So she started at the Air District with a head start.
All right, thank you. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Dr. Balms.
Yes.
Mr. De La Torre.
Yes.
Mr. Eisenhut.
Yes.
Senator Flores. Senator Flores? Ms. Hurt?
Aye.
Mr. Krakow?
Yes.
Dr. Pacheco Werner?
Yes.
Mrs. Riordan?
Aye.
Supervisor Serna?
Aye.
Ms. Takborian?
Aye.
Supervisor Vargas?
Vargas, yes.
Vice Chair Berg?
Aye.
Chair Randolph?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion passes.
All right, thank you very much. And thanks to the community. All right, we will now move to open comment for those who wish to provide a comment regarding an item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board that is not on today's agenda. The clerk will call on those who have submitted a request to speak card. And if you are joining us remotely and wish to comment, please click the raise hand button or dial *9 now. Will the board clerk please call on those who have raised their hand or signed up to speak?
We have no commenters at this time.
Okay, we have no commenters at this time. So our meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.